say on behalf, I think the other missionaries will not mind me speaking on their behalf and saying to you as a church, thank you for your hospitality. It's been a tremendous, tremendous time here, and my wife and I have enjoyed getting to meet and get to know so many of you, and we are just thrilled that God allowed us to be here with you for this conference. And I'm quite honestly, I'm excited for you as a church as you look to the future, see what God will do for you and do through you as you support missions. I don't know about you, but I've just found four other fields I'm ready to go to. I tell you what, every time I see a presentation, I say, okay, Lord, I sing, not out loud because that would be bad, but I sing in my heart, Lord, send me. The Lord hasn't said yes to that yet. He says, keep doing what you're doing, so I'm going to keep doing that until he tells me to do otherwise. But I trust that you have been challenged through the presentations and then also through the Word of God. Let me just give you one last advertisement, if I could, because I'm really looking for your help. You've seen on our display table a little bit of everything, all different kinds of fields of the world. One of the things on our table, and I failed to bring one up with me, is the BMI World Magazine, some on either side of our table. And a lot of times when people go to our table, they look at all the brochures and they figure, well, those are to be taken. But magazines, I mean, you know, they cost money. So sometimes they don't take them. So I'm telling you, take them, please. I don't want to take them home with me. I would rather you read some of the things that God's doing around the world in that magazine. So just so you know, tonight only, I'm going to run a special, okay? Normally those magazines are free. Tonight, they are half price. So you do not want to miss this deal. But wait, there's more. Pick up a prayer card as well and pray for us. We'd appreciate that. But I think you'll be challenged in there. Just a couple of quick things. The theme that I've chosen for BIMI for this year is achieving the impossible because God can. And I've been challenged all this entire year with that theme. We're not attempting the impossible. We're achieving the impossible. And it's not us and our own strength who is doing it. It's happening because God can. And so I think as you read through that magazine, you'll see areas and places in the world where God is indeed carrying out the Great Commission through His servants. And I told you about the Papua New Guinea Bible Project the other night. In there, you will read testimonials of men from Papua New Guinea. When we ask them the question, is the Papua New Guinea Bible Project changing not just your church, but do you see any difference in your entire nation now that over 1 million Bibles have arrived there? And it's been amazing to read those testimonials where God indeed is changing an entire nation because it has been flooded with the Word of God. So I think you'll enjoy reading about that as well, and all kinds of other things in there also. So please, that'll lighten my load on the way home. I'd appreciate it if you take that, and as well, prayer cards, and not only ours, but the rest of the missionaries. We have those prayer cards because we really want people to pray for us, because we need the prayers of God's people. And I think prayer is one of those things that works good both ways. I need the prayer, and I need the practice, okay? So if we're all involved in that, I think the Lord uses that ministry, and it is indeed an important ministry. So take your Bibles now, turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, and I want to look at one verse tonight, verse number 9. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9. I am excited and yet also a little saddened, I guess, so to speak, that here we are. This is the last service of the missions conference. I will tell you that it's come quickly. It's like we just started and here we are. And that's a good sign, by the way, because if it drags on and on and on, that's not a good sign. But when you're having fun, time flies, and we have enjoyed ourselves and time has flown by. But here's what I want you to focus on tonight with me. Not the fact that we are closing out the missions conference and that we are at the end of the missions conference. I would like you to focus with me that you as a church now are beginning a brand new missions year. And I want you to look ahead with eyes of faith as to what God will do. As you do, here is a, can I maybe use the word warning, something for you to consider and to think about. whatever God's laid on your heart this week, and I don't know what that is, praying, giving, and going, those are the three big areas that we always get challenged about when it comes to missions. So wherever and whatever area God has spoken to you about, and I hope all three of those areas this week, probably sometime in the very near future, Satan's going to hop on your shoulder, and he's going to say to you, you know, you really didn't know what you were doing. Are you sure you made the right commitment? Well, do you think that now is the time? Perhaps that's okay, but maybe you should start that later on. And, you know, there's these doubts that will come your way. And so tonight, as you realize, and as I realize, Satan is not happy with what took place here this week in this missions conference. Any church that emphasizes the need for worldwide evangelization, boy, Satan is not happy. But I can tell you, God is well pleased. So as you now begin this brand new missions year, I just want to encourage you tonight with Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9. And here's what Paul says. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for how it encourages us and exhorts us. And Lord, as we look at this verse of Scripture tonight, once again, I'm coming to you and I'm asking for your help because once again, I need your help. And so, Lord, help me now to say exactly what you once said. Lord, I want to be an encouragement to this local body. And I pray that that would happen in these next few moments. And I do pray that this church would do more for missions in this upcoming missions year than they have ever done before. God, I pray that you would keep each one encouraged, keep each one faithful to the commitments that you've laid on each individual heart. And God, I pray that you would help us all to be found faithful when we stand before you. Lord, please guide and direct now in this time, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to let the punctuation of this verse divide it into three parts or three points. Number one, I want to talk about the call to tireless well-doing. He says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. And then secondly, I want to talk about the certainty of reaping. He says, for in due season we shall reap. But then number three, the condition of the promise. He says, if we faint not. So first of all, let's look at this call to tireless well-doing. Paul says, let us not be weary. Now, I'm not doing this, but if I did at this point say, those of you who are weary, raise your hand. Probably more than one or two hands would go up because, well, we're human beings and we get weary. And by the way, when you come through a missions conference, there's something about that kind of weary. It's a good kind of weary because it's been a good week, but, you know, we do get weary. So Paul, though, as he's given this exhortation and this encouragement, he's not talking about physically. And, you know, sometimes things can help us physically, like a Baptist nap on Sunday afternoon and, you know, all those type of things. Bring it over into the spiritual realm because that's where Paul is focused here. And he says, let us not be weary. So when I read Paul's exhortation, his encouragement to not be weary, I ask myself, what do I need to do to not become weary? The commitments that you've made as you look ahead to the next missions year, what needs to be done so that you do not become weary? Well, as I think that through, I realize that the things that I can do on the physical side to keep from becoming weary, if I bring that over and make the application to the spiritual side, there's a lot to be learned. So I wrote down a few of these. Number one, to not become weary, we must get our proper daily nutrition that we need in our lives. That is true physically, and it is true spiritually. You know, we need to eat right. That's hard to do sometimes, especially when you're a missionary on deputation. It gets a little difficult, you know. And if we don't eat right, we will become weary. I'll let you know a little secret. I love Reese's peanut butter cups. I mean, that's just about as good as it gets, you know. If you've not had a Reese's fast break, you've got to try that sometime, you know. But can you imagine if my entire diet was Reese's peanut butter cups? You know, it's got protein in there, I know, but After a while, with all that sugar, boy, my blood sugar would be so high, and all of a sudden when it dropped, so would I. I'd be laying out in the bed, going to sleep. I'd become weary because my diet was not right and not good. So also, spiritually speaking, you and I need to make sure that we have a steady diet of God's word in our lives. The psalmist said, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." And then I think about Peter as he talks about the milk of the word, and Paul talks about the meat of the word as well. I tell you what, there's a lot of junk food out there, spiritually speaking, that if we eat that junk food that the world offers, we will become weary. For you and I, we need to be in God's word. So let's get practical here tonight. Here's my first encouragement to you. If you do not, at this point in time in your life, have the habit of being in God's word every day, with the commitment that you have just made, it's time to start that habit in your life. And make sure that you're in God's word daily to get the nutrition from God's word that you need to do what He has laid on your heart to do. Probably most of you are saying, now, Brother Snyder, you know, think about your audience here. We've got a lot of college students here. We've got a lot of college professors and, you know, a lot of folks that have been saved for a long time. Okay, I did. Here's my exhortation. Here's my encouragement to you, because it's an encouragement and exhortation to me. Perhaps you, like me, it is that a habit in your life. Every day you get out the Word of God, you get out the Bible, you sit down, you read it. If you do it right, you got a cup of coffee right there, you know, and you've got that habit and you do that. But I'll tell you, after doing that for more years than I know, one of the things I have to guard against is reading God's word just purely out of habit. And I don't know about you, but there's times I can get down through that first chapter and I realize I'm already thinking about my to-do list for the day, and I'm thinking about I got to do that, and I'm thinking, well, what about this situation? And I realize, you know, I have no idea what I just read. For you and I think it's a time to renew our commitment that when we get into the Word of God, we let the nutrition of the Word of God encourage us and feed us so that we do not become weary in well-doing. Here's another one, number two. Don't really like this one, but it's true: exercise. Physically speaking, if we exercise and get the exercise we need, it will help us to keep from becoming weary. So how does this come over into the spiritual realm? Well, a couple of things I thought of. Number one, godliness. Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:7, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." No pain, no gain. Exercise is needed, spiritually speaking, in our lives. And here he's saying, exercise ourselves unto godliness. I wish godliness just kind of happened all by itself. I wish I just became more godly every day automatically and just became more like Jesus Christ without even trying. But it is an exercise. And we need to exercise ourselves unto godliness. By the way, just like exercise, sometimes as you think it through, you know, it's not necessarily something you want to do, but you go ahead and you do it. And after you're done, you say, boy, I'm glad I did that. Apply that to a lot of things. Well, you know, soul winning. Boy, I've got so many other things, and boy, I'm not sure about it, but I'm going to go anyways. And you go, and they say, boy, I'm sure glad I did that. Well, so also with these commitments that you've made concerning missions, and then also when it comes to the faith promise commitment, you realize that giving to missions is an exercise in godliness, godlikeness, to become like God, to become like Jesus Christ. You see, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. He gave so that the entire world would have the opportunity to be saved. This is about us giving so that others can hear the message of Jesus Christ and how He came, and all they need do is call upon the name of the Lord and they will be saved. It's not necessarily always easy, but it is an exercise unto godliness. Let's be faithful in that exercise. But another one I thought of too, Acts 24:16, Paul is giving his testimony and he says this, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." Let's make sure we exercise in such a way that we have a clear conscience. You say, what do you mean? Well, the Bible says toward God and toward men. Here's a practical application. This commitment that you've made, I repeat what I said the other night, is not a commitment that you're making to me or to pastor or to the deacons or to these missionaries. This is a commitment that you are making to God. And make sure that you keep your conscience clear between you and God. Because if God has laid this on your heart, you've committed to doing it. You know, the first time that you skip and you say, well, you know, things are a little tight right now, I'll just skip this one time. Now you do not have that clear conscience between you and God. And you know what happens when you skip once? It's easier to skip twice. And after you skip twice, it's easier to skip three times. So it's important for you and I to make sure that we faithfully exercise ourselves to keep a clear conscience between us and God. But notice the Bible there, in the verse that I used, also says toward men. Let me encourage you to be right one with another within this local church. Oh, how important that is. Listen, you've heard the proverbial thing of churches that have split over the color of the carpet. Do you realize that does happen? That blows my mind, but it really does. Hey, listen, you've just had an amazing and a wonderful week here in this conference, this missions conference in this church. Don't let Satan come in and ruin it. Keep short accounts one with another. You know, if you come into church and so-and-so just didn't look at you right, or they don't like your tie, or they don't like your dress, or whatever, hey, get over it. And if you can't get over it, do what the Bible says. Go to them and talk with them. Maybe you're the one that's going to need to ask for forgiveness. But keep short accounts one with another, because I'll tell you what, Satan would love to come into this place and split it wide open so that you can't keep the commitments that you want to make and that you have made to missions. Don't let Satan do that. Exercise yourself unto godliness and to have a clear conscience toward God and toward men. Here's another one. Proper nutrition, exercise regularly. Number three, proper rest. Don't you love this one? Those of you who got your Baptist nap today, you're saying, boy, I'm glad the rest of you are thinking, yeah, I wish I would have got some rest today. You know, spiritually speaking, it's the same thing. We need to rest in Him. Matthew 11, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, whatever commitment it is that you've made to Jesus in this missions conference, do you realize what you've really done is yoked up with the Lord Jesus Christ? What a privilege it is to get in the yoke with Jesus and allow Him to be the one who really does the work, but He gives us the opportunity to have a part in that. And Jesus says, hey, come to me. He says, I'll give you rest. Don't be anxious. There's going to be some weeks where you're going to say, Lord, I have no idea where this has come from. Rest in Him. You're in the yoke with Him. Allow Him to do the work. Work in His strength. Paul says in Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Rest in Him. Well, we can try and figure it all out and work ourselves to death trying to get it all taken care of. Or we can say, Lord, I have no idea how you're going to do this, but I'm going to trust you. And I'm just going to continue to move forward and allow you to do the work. So we got to get the proper rest. And then I'll mention one more and then we'll move on. Don't become weary. Make sure we get proper nutrition, exercise, rest. And here's a fourth one. We need to keep our eyes focused. Now, those of you who do not wear glasses will not understand this illustration nearly as well as those of us who do. You see, I've worn glasses pretty much all of my life. I've got a very strong prescription. As a matter of fact, right now, I'm looking out there and all I see is a bunch of big blobs out there. I mean, that's as good as it gets for me, okay? But, you know, I learned something as I was growing up. I used to play basketball, and I was on the starting five. Now, I won't tell you there were six total on the whole team, okay? But I was on the starting five, all right? And I remember there were times I felt so bad for my parents, especially now looking back. My glasses would break so often while I was playing basketball. And, man, it was terrible. I remember one time we were in this tournament, and I took an elbow to the side of the head. My glasses went two different directions, and I'm like, man, what do I do? And they're bringing me the pieces of the glasses, you know, and I'm holding them up, and I'm looking out into the stands, and I'm trying to find my mom, and I finally find my mom, and she, being the good mom that she is, she's reaching into her purse as I'm seeing her, and she pulls out a roll of masking tape, and she throws it to me out on the court. And I'm taking the masking tape, and I'm winding it up and putting it on. I was the biggest geek you have ever seen with the taped-up glasses, but I was so glad that I could see what I was doing because I had played basketball without glasses. It wore me out because I was trying to focus, and I was trying to see, number one, where I was going, but where the basketball was and where the goal was, and, boy, I couldn't see, and I was wore out because I didn't have the right prescription. I didn't have things in focus. And for you and I think about what the writer of Hebrews said. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And watch what he says in verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Keep our eyes on Jesus, or we will become weary. Let me tell you, it's easy to get our eyes on what's going on in Israel. It's easy to keep our eyes on the Middle East, Ukraine, the things here in our own country. You just start naming it. Boy, isn't it easy to keep our focus on those things? Yes, we need to stay tuned into what's going on there, but we keep our focus on Jesus Christ because he is the one who's going to give us the strength to keep us from becoming weary, to continue on. You know, I thought about Peter walking on the water. You remember the story. He did good walking on the water as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. But you remember, he was looking at the storm, took his eyes off of Jesus, and that's when he sank. It's a good reminder for you and I to make sure we stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ to keep from becoming weary. Now, need to get back to our text, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. In well-doing. Boy, there's so much I could say here. There's a whole list of things we could list that are things of well-doing, but this is the missions conference, so let's just hit one. Turn with me, and I had you here the other night in Philippians chapter number 4. I'm going to read the same verses I just read the other night, but I want you to read them again with me with this context and with this thought in mind. Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to begin reading at verse number 14. Paul says, notwithstanding ye have, and what are the next two words? Well done. He's saying this is well doing. What is well doing? That ye did communicate with my affliction. And I'll keep reading here. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So Paul says this is well-doing. What is? That they communicated with him. They supported him. They made others a priority. They made missions a priority. And they gave to this offering even though they were in a great trial of affliction and in deep poverty. But here's what I want you to really focus on in these verses that I just read. Verse number 18, do you see the description that God gives to the missions offering? It is an odor of a sweet smell. It is a sacrifice acceptable. And then the Bible says, not just pleasing to God, it is well-pleasing to God. What an amazing description of the missions offering. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but do you realize that as they pass the plate and it comes by you and you drop that missions offering in there, do you realize that there is a sweet aroma that arises to the throne of God? And God looks down and says, I am well pleased with that. So when we use this verse of Scripture tonight and we remind ourselves, let us not be weary in well-doing, this is indeed well-doing. And let us not be weary in following the Lord and in doing what He's laid on our hearts to do, specifically in the area of missions. So that is the first part of this verse. Let us not be weary in well-doing. But here's the second part of this verse, the certainty of reaping. He says, for in due season we shall reap. First of all, notice the Bible says, for in due season. And one commentator said it this way, in the season divinely appointed for reaping. I like the way he said that, because divinely appointed. I don't know about you, but for me, my timetable is I want it done yesterday. You know, I mean, that's just the way I expect it. I want it to be done that way. But God's timetable and my timetable rarely match. But can I say this? God's timing is always perfect. God is never late. God is never ahead of time. God is always right on time. The season divinely appointed. I thought about Isaiah 55, where God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Stop and think about what God's saying there tonight. When we get out of church tonight, I hope that the sky is at least a little bit clear. And if it is, walk outside and look up. Look at the stars. And then try to imagine how high above your head those stars are. Do you realize God's ways are that much higher than our ways? You know, I think we can trust Him. I think we can rely on Him 110%. For in due season, in the season divinely appointed, He says this, we shall reap. He doesn't say that we might reap. He doesn't even say there's a 98 or a 99% chance that we'll reap. He says, we shall reap. Basically, what He's saying is, it's a done deal. And we can be confident in this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in us, He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Can I put a little different emphasis on that? If you look here, we can be confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good thing in us, the beginning of this mission's year, He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Because He's God, and we can count on Him. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. We shall reap. Now again, I remind you, this is not some health and wealth prosperity gospel gimmick. This is the truth. I read this story. I couldn't believe it when I read it. But a pastor put a box on the front table, and he was trying to teach his people about faith promise and how God will reward. And he had this box all rigged up to where, you know, like when you go to a vending machine, you put your dollar bill in there and it sucks it in. Okay, he had this thing worked out where he would put it in the top, it would suck it in, and then one would shoot out down the bottom. And here's what he did. He got a $5 bill, and he told his people, listen, here's what you do. You give God $5, and watch what God will do. And he put it in the top, and out the bottom shot a $20 bill. What a gimmick. What a bunch of baloney. Amen. You know, I'm telling you, it's amazing. God will reward, but that doesn't mean that God will make us rich. Just like the churches in Macedonia. They were still in deep poverty, but God rewarded them for their giving. So how will God reward you and I? Well, first of all, on this side of eternity, I don't know. That's up to Him. You say, will God reward me in this upcoming year if I am obedient to do what He's asked me to do? Yes, He will. How? I don't know. But just let that up to the Lord. Because God is a good God. I believe there are so many rewards that God gives to me that sometimes I don't even realize that they are rewards and His blessings. And I need to stop and be better about thanking the Lord for the blessings that He sent my way and the rewards that He's giving to me. And boy, I'm so thankful for that. But truly, as we mentioned the other night, the best rewards any of us can receive are rewards that we cannot see with our physical eyes. They're rewards in heaven. But there's one thing, to be real honest with you, a reward that I'm really looking forward to. If I can get that reward. And that's to stand before Jesus Christ someday. If I can hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What a day that will be. And you know what? If He came back tonight, if He came back in a couple of weeks when you did make this commitment or whatever other commitment it was to missions and you were to stand before him, would he say concerning the number that you put on here? Would he say concerning your commitment to go? And would he say concerning your commitment to pray, well done, thou good and faithful servant? That reward will trump all other rewards, I believe. I want some rewards so that I can throw them back at his feet, to be sure. But if I can hear him say, well done, we shall reap. Now, can I just be transparent here with you? Wouldn't it be nice if the verse just stopped right there? That would be convenient, would it not? You know, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Okay, let's go home. No, let's not go home, because there's more in the verse. Third point, the condition of the promise. He says, if we faint not. I call this word if, I call it the little big word. It's little because it's only two letters, but boy, it carries a big meaning. Think about this. Some of you, this will bring back some memories. Yes, you can have dessert if you eat all your vegetables first. You can go outside to play with your friends if all of your homework is done and ready to go. God says, hey, you will be blessed if you are obedient. You will reap if you sow. So this little big word, boy, it carries a lot of meaning. So if what? He says, if we faint not. So I read that and I say, boy, I don't want to faint. How do I keep from fainting? Well, first thing I think of is if I don't become weary to begin with, I'll not faint. So I come back to, hey, we got to watch our nutrition. We've got to exercise regularly. We've got to make sure we get the proper rest. And we got to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sure. But there's something else I thought of here when the Bible says, if we faint not, I thought about Isaiah chapter number 40 and how we need to wait on the Lord to keep from fainting. Here's what God said in Isaiah 40, verses 30 and 31. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord to keep from fainting. Now, I'm going to close this out with an illustration tonight. I just want you to kind of think this through with me. When the Bible says, wait on the Lord, what's it mean? Well, I think there's an aspect of, okay, I'm just going to kind of stand here and I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to wait on him to respond. I'm going to wait on him to do something. And can I say there is a certain aspect of that? The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. It's a great thing, I think, if we can take all of our electronic devices, power them down, put them away, get out God's word, and say, Lord, I'm waiting on you. But there's another aspect that I want you to think about with me tonight. When we say wait on the Lord, there's another aspect of the word wait. If we were to go to a restaurant tonight, and no, McDonald's does not count as a restaurant. But if we were to go to a restaurant and we would walk in there, the host or hostess would meet us and they would take us to a table and we would be seated at the table. Eventually, hopefully sooner rather than later, someone would come to our table. And that person is called a waiter or a waitress. Now, it doesn't mean they come to our table and they stand there and they stare at us and they just wait. No, when they're a waiter or a waitress, they're going to wait on us. What does that mean? They're going to serve us. And that's an aspect sometimes we don't think about when we read those words from the book of Isaiah. It's more than just waiting on the Lord. It's continuing to serve him faithfully as we wait on him. You know, I'll give you this illustration. I told you we started out in Juneau, Alaska. Juneau is just a beautiful, beautiful place. And I've been to a lot of places in the world. I've been to the Swiss Alps, and I'd go back to Juneau any day. The just spectacular scenery there. One of the things that Juneau has, and Southeast Alaska, are bald eagles. Bald eagles are everywhere. There's times when the salmon are running that if you look in a big evergreen tree, it's got white spots all up the tree. and the white spots are the heads of the eagles because they're watching for the next meal that they're going to get because they're already full. They're just waiting for the next meal. So eagles are everywhere. And I remember where we lived on Thunder Mountain Road in Juneau. And you turn off the hard road on the gravel road, and our apartment, a duplex there where we lived, right around the corner. It was called Thunder Mountain Road because if we were to keep going straight instead of turning into our driveway, we would literally run into Thunder Mountain because Thunder Mountain just kind of, I can't explain, it just went straight up. So if you stood in our driveway, you could just look up and see the top of Thunder Mountain. And often as you did, up there were eagles. And they were just, you've seen them flying. They're majestic. And it's just neat to watch them flying. And there's just so many of them. It's just amazing to see. But it was interesting. Sometimes as I would watch them, there would be an eagle or two that as they're flying, and there's no effort, it seems, in their flying, there would be this, I guess, this gust of wind or this air that would come under their wings and it would just take them up and over the mountain in just a matter of seconds. They were gone. They were on the other side of the mountain. Just beautiful to watch that happen. And as I thought about that and I thought about Isaiah and I thought about waiting on the Lord, and as you think about looking ahead to the next missions year, let me just tell you, there is going to be some mountains that you're going to come up to in this next missions year and you're going to say, Lord, how in the world am I ever going to get over this mountain? Can I encourage you? Wait on the Lord. Mount up with wings as eagles. You say, what is it? Keep your wings stretched. Wait on the Lord. Serve Him. Keep flying. Don't stop. Why? Because at that season, divinely appointed, and can you see here the picture of the Holy Spirit, the wind that comes under our wings at that moment, just when we need it, and He comes in and takes us over that mountain, something that's impossible for us. But with God, all things are possible. So as you think tonight, hey, yeah, we're closing out the missions conference, but you're beginning a brand new missions year. Here's the encouragement we get from God's word. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Would you stand with me, heads bowed and eyes closed? And again, just a few moments of invitation tonight. And perhaps tonight, the invitation would be simply this. Take some time and pray and say, Lord, help me to not become weary. Pray and say, Lord, help me to not faint. Whatever that commitment is that God's laid on your heart, talk to Him about that commitment right now. Perhaps you're still considering what God would have you to do. Maybe you're going to give this another week or two. Pray about it. Do what God lays on your heart to do. But would you take these next few moments and say, Lord, help me to be faithful in doing what you want me to do. As the instrumentalist begins to play a hymn of invitation, take these next few moments and, as we've already mentioned, just be still and know that He is God. Talk with Him. Ask for His help. Ask for His guidance. Ask for His provision. He's promised that He would give it. Sometimes it's just, though, we have to rest in Him. We have to wait on Him. We have to just continue moving forward, even though we don't see how we'll ever make it over that next mountain. But as we mount up with wings as eagles, God will do what only God can do. Would you take these next few moments as she continues to play, pray, talk with the Lord, and ask Him to help you to not become weary and to not faint, but to be faithful in doing that which He has laid on your